You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 25th of March, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we were hoping to have Simon Harris here today, but there appears to be some connection issues at his end. I do apologise that we haven't got him here today. Hopefully, we will be able to rearrange it for Monday, and hopefully he will be able to find out what's causing those connection issues. Well, I'm afraid we are going to have to talk a little bit about coronavirus today and some of the issues surrounding that. But before then, I'll just remind people that while everybody is at home, it's the perfect opportunity for sharing links to Radio Albion podcasts to other truth seekers that you know. We've got a lot of content there that isn't time specific. We've got Dr. Johnson's program, The Orthodox Nationalist, which goes into Russian history, Orthodox history, looking at things from the Russian point of view, the Eastern Slavonic point of view. We've got the Aryan narrations there with the history of the kings of Britain. All sorts of racial nationalist books from the last 100 years that we've got narrations from. We've got a lot of historical stuff, secret history of the church in Britain, a lot of revisionist stuff with Dennis Wise, Truth Will Out Radio. There's lots on there that isn't just based around current affairs that you can really listen to at any time. So it's the absolute perfect time for sharing our content with your friends and family, so long as they're not going to be offended by it. I mean, don't share it with anybody that's likely to be offended by it. Anyway, to get into the news today, the main issue that's really been bugging me is just about these masks. FFP3 are the masks that people need to use. They filter out viruses like coronavirus. They have a micron mesh, which is the correct size. Now, I ordered masks back around about January the 15th, and that's the time you would have assumed that the government would have been ordering lorry loads of these FFP3 masks so that they could give them out to everybody in the NHS. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that at all. So what we've got now, all the public vendors that sell these masks to the public, none of them are able to sell any masks because the government have requisitioned them all, which means that the public can't protect themselves. And this is why on the news, on the BBC, when they talk about masks, they say, oh, a surgical mask won't protect you. And they're lying by omission there, because when people ask about masks, they mean these dust masks. Are these dust masks going to protect you? And the BBC and the experts on the BBC will say, oh, well, the advice is not to wear a mask because when you take it off, because people don't know how to use it properly. And if they just have a surgical mask, then it only stops the larger droplets. Absolutely ridiculous. If people are going to be traveling on tube trains, they should definitely be wearing these masks. So we have no masks because the government failed to procure enough masks for the NHS. The NHS haven't had masks up until now. I believe they have now. The army turned up yesterday with truckloads of them, and they set up a helpline for even chemists could use, because even the chemists haven't had masks. The people that are dealing with ill people, that see lots of ill people coming into their dispensary every day to pick up their prescriptions, they haven't even got the protective equipment that is required. Now, they were saying that there's problems with getting hold of them from China, because obviously China has been locked down and in a similar situation to us, but Russia hasn't been. Russia makes their own masks, so why aren't we ordering lorry loads of masks from Russia? You would think that in a time like this of a pandemic, that sanctions wouldn't matter, lives would matter, and they could quite easily be getting these masks from Russia. Some of the companies over there have tried to make a quick buck, and they doubled the price of their masks. And there's a video online which shows Putin being told about this. And straight away, he says, remove their licenses. Take their licenses away from them. They're no longer able to trade. So that it's not like they're putting the price up on these things. They're dealing with it very well over there in Russia. But over here in Britain, it's just an absolute shambles. I mean, it's a scandal that the public can't actually buy the masks that we need because the government failed to get the number that they needed for the doctors and the NHS. I'm just amazed at that. Apparently, China sent some masks that were supposed to be on their way to Italy, and I think it's either the Czech Republic or Croatia. They just took them. They just took them. Serbia asked for help from the EU and was snubbed. All this nonsense from the EU about all just being this one federal superstate, that is all falling apart, isn't it? The Schengen area, that's all been shut down. And yet at the same time, we've still got all these airplanes flying in from all over the world. We still haven't banned travel from these other countries. I mean, they're saying, oh, it's inevitable that people are going to get this. Well, it wasn't inevitable. It could have been contained. It could have been contained in China. I was listening to On the Offensive the other night, talking about how things were over there in Vietnam, and he was saying that they were just rounding up the Chinese right after the New Year and testing them, forcing them to get tested, and that's how they kept control of it. Of course, they wouldn't do that over here because that would be racist. And it's because of this wish to not be called racist that we didn't close the borders to China in the first place. It's because of this that we now have this problem in Italy, this huge problem in Italy that's crashed their health service and resulted in thousands of dead. And you only have to look back 2 weeks to see the mayor of Lombardy, I think it was, one of these northern Italian mayors, making a YouTube encouraging people to hug a Chinese and show that we're not racist. And the week later, it becomes the center of this epidemic. I mean, if this doesn't crash the multicultural experiment, I really don't know what will. I mean, we started off with just muggings, and then there was an increase in drug dealing, then there was gangs, then there was stabbings and shootings, then there was rape gangs, then there was terrorism, and now we've got a global pandemic, which is going to kill off loads of our most beloved members of our society, our parents and our grandparents. And we're being told, oh, this is just inevitable. None of it was inevitable. All we had to do was behave like the rest of the natural world and keep to our own kind. That would have protected us from all of this. And we have yet to see how all the diversity responds to this. I've got a couple of news stories that I'll get to in a minute that deal with how things are, the sort of things that are happening in the multicultural areas, and how the immigrants are responding to being told they have to quarantine themselves. But another issue that is being talked about a lot at the moment over here in Britain is the tube trains in London. There are all these images of tube trains where people are packed in there. They're still sat right next to one another, breathing in all the recycled air. And the reason for this is because the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has cut back on all the trains. He cut back on all the tube trains. So the people that had to go out, the people that the NHS, the doctors, the construction workers, the people that really had to use them, are all packed in to one train. And this is solely down to Sadiq Khan doing this. He's the one that has put everybody at risk. And they have been hinting at that. The health secretary the other day was saying, well, there's no reason that I can think of for why the tube trains should have been cut back. And also because so many people have been out, so many people have ignored the advice that we had to stay at home, the British government have now had to bring in laws which give the police the power to fine people and make them stay at home. And of course, the worry is that now that the police have these powers, they're not going to give them up, are they? And we really only have ourselves to blame for ignoring the advice and going out. I mean, I can think of I know a few elderly people, and each one of them has flouted the advice and went out on the Sunday. It's just incredible the way people have ignored what the government have said. I mean, we can see what is happening in Italy, and the same thing is going to happen over here in Britain. I just hope that the hot weather clears a lot of this up and breaks down the lipid wall of the virus itself, because the SARS virus, which this one appears to be modelled upon, they didn't end up getting a vaccine for that because it just disappeared. As soon as the hot weather came, it just disappeared. And I think that's probably what Donald Trump is hoping for. That's what a lot of people are hoping for, is that it's going to disappear. But until then, we do just have to stay in. And really, I mean, if you're a nationalist, you're used to having social interaction online, and we have our podcasts, we have our communities. So we are really well placed to weather this, I think. And also we can set a good example to others, and we can help out other white people. And I should imagine most of you listeners out there were well prepared for this and had masks and hand sanitizer and everything else that was required to keep yourself protected. I mean, Red Ice in particular did a very good job of exposing this right at the start and letting people know what protective gear they were going to need. So I have to say thank you to them for that in particular. Anyway, as I was saying, the multicultural response to this. Don't forget, we've got a lot of people in our countries that don't even speak English, and they are not obeying these quarantines. The worst areas where people are still congregating are the non-white areas. And this is not just happening in Britain. This report I've got here comes from France. Police in Paris no-go zones are becoming overwhelmed, trying to maintain the nationwide quarantine, and have handed out record numbers of fines. The heavily migrant-populated Seine-Saint-Denis area is proving to be a tough area for police to enforce the nationwide anti-coronavirus quarantine ordered by French President Emmanuel Macron, with police officers admitting that they are overwhelmed. Now, this isn't the sort of thing that is going to be happening in white areas. If you go to the white areas, you won't see anybody about. But if you go to the heavily migrant-populated areas, you will see that they are all out. And of course, the police are too frightened to do anything about it, because if they do try and do something about it, there's going to be looting and rioting, and they'll be setting fires. And so the police are too worried to do anything about it. And the end result of this is going to be that it's going to be rampant in these migrant areas. They are then going to go into the hospitals, because they won't obey the advice to just phone these numbers. They will just turn up at the hospitals. There will be chaos in the hospitals. And I can see white people getting particularly infuriated at the fact that their grandparents aren't being given help, and yet these newcomers are being ventilated. So this is going to mean that there are more white people that actually die, but it's also going to mean that there is going to be a lot of resentment of the immigration and a lot of resentment of these people that have come over here. I feel very, very sorry for the NHS, because they're the ones that are really going to have to deal with this. And I would hope that anybody that knows what they're doing would volunteer to help the NHS and try to help our people and do what they can to help our people. A man guarding a local pharmacy told newspaper Le Temps that many of the residents do not even believe the virus is a threat to them at all. And that's going to be the same wherever you are, because they don't really speak English. You've got imams over there in Pakistan saying that Allah will protect them. Don't forget, when this first took off in Iran, there were Shiite Muslims that were licking the idols there and kissing the idols there and saying Allah is going to protect us. And that same mentality is among the Muslims that we have in Britain. The man guarding the local pharmacy told the newspaper, "They do not understand anything. Some even say that this virus is a fable of whites to force them to desert the streets," the man said. So they think this is all just a hoax, this is all just a scam to get them off the streets. And this is not good. And I feel very sorry for any white people that are left living in these multicultural zones that haven't been able to actually move out from them and move away. And that is usually the elderly that can't afford to get away from there. Other areas of Saint-Denis also saw people gathering, including a local shopping centre where a number of minority teenagers chatted with each other, some wearing masks, others not. So they're just hanging out, thinking that it's a holiday and isn't it great? There's no white people around. We can just hang out in the streets. And of course, the number of people that they're going to be infecting by doing that is just phenomenal. I mean, besides the fact that they're spreading this, also the people that are doing the price gouging appear to be non-whites as well, especially in the videos that I've seen of it. It's been these Muslims in these corner shops that have put up the price of toilet roll, put up the price of hand sanitizer. I mean, in the white areas, you've got people giving this sort of stuff out for free. And in the multicultural areas, of course, you've got the newcomers jacking up the prices and just trying to rip people off. I mean, how can you have a sense of community in a multicultural area? And this is precisely the sort of situation where you have to rely on a sense of community to get by. Police say that enforcing the law in the area is impossible, and that if they try to impose the €135 fines, they would not be able to contain the potential backlash, and that the risk of a crowd forming would only increase the chances of spreading the coronavirus. So basically, the migrants can just do whatever they like then, can't they? And through doing whatever they like, they are all going to get this virus, and then they're going to spread it around everywhere else, as I say, when they invade the hospitals demanding to be treated. "We are not going to give up, but we also know where these people live and how they live. Strict containment for them is just impossible," an officer explained. And that's going to be the same all over Europe. On Wednesday, it was reported that 10% of all the fines for breaking the quarantine in France were given in Seine-Saint-Denis, per Fabienne Klein-Donati, the public prosecutor of Bobigny. The quarantine measures were also largely ignored by residents in the highly migrant-populated 18th arrondissement in the north of Paris, with crowds of people walking around the area despite police orders to stay in their homes. The coronavirus outbreak has also led to pharmacies becoming targets for burglars, as in the case of Colombe, just outside of Paris, where a man from Saint-Denis was arrested for stealing medical face masks and hand sanitizer. And I suspect we're going to see a lot of that pharmacies being broken into. We also saw delivery vans with food that was supposed to be going to the elderly that were set fire to over the weekend in Bristol. We also saw NHS doctors and nurses that had their car windows smashed through with rocks. I mean, what kind of mentality would do something like that in the situation that we are in? Of course, we don't know the race of the perpetrators. But I mean, even if you say it's 50-50, then there is still a chance that that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the foreigners here. In San Amane, meanwhile, drug dealers donned masks and other medical gear and were seen strolling along the streets of the Almont district of Melun, even creating a video for social media advertising that they were selling drugs still, regardless of the quarantine and coronavirus outbreak. And this is another issue that they really haven't thought about. What about all the junkies that are out there that are going to need their fix? They're going to be going out of their mind, aren't they? They're going to be willing to do crazy things like rob pharmacies. And that's something that people haven't really spoken about, is the underworld and what is going to happen there. I mean, we could actually see all these people having to go cold turkey. So that might actually end up being a positive thing for them, so long as they don't have any medical problems whilst doing so. And this is just the non-whites that have actually got citizenship, the ones that are allowed to be here. What about the ones that are in the holding centres? What about the ones that are here to try and claim asylum from the war in France? Well, three immigration removal centres in the UK are housing people with symptoms of coronavirus, the BBC has been told. One of them, Brook House Immigration Removal Centre near Gatwick Airport, has been placed on lockdown, according to detainees. A High Court case later will decide if detainees should be temporarily released while the coronavirus crisis is ongoing. The Home Office says it is following guidance from Public Health England. So that's just going to make the problem even worse, isn't it? They will release all these refugees. They will probably have to find some way of housing them. They're just going to ignore all the instructions that they're given. Most of them won't even be able to speak English. I mean, they're just really stuck here, aren't they? They've got these holding centres for them, and once the disease gets in there, it's just going to run rampant through there. Everybody's going to get it. And if they let them out, then again, they're just going to contaminate the rest of the population, and they're just going to be a problem to deal with. I mean, what this is doing is really amplifying all the problems that we have with multiculturalism, with diversity, with these other races. It's just massively, massively going to amplify those problems. And if people can't see that diversity is not a strength by the end of this, then, you know, I really don't know what will. What about the religious side of this then? All we seem to hear about is that churches have been closed down, there's going to be no more baptisms, there's going to be no more christenings, and of course we really haven't heard very much about the mosques, because of course to close the mosques down, that would be Islamophobic. Well, I have found a report about the mosques, and this actually comes from a Muslim publication called Five Pillars UK, and it was actually from 5 days ago. And they say hundreds of mosques around the UK remained open today for Jummah prayers, despite calls for them to be shut down due to the coronavirus outbreak. Scores of mosques in Leicester, Lancashire, London, Birmingham, Luton and other parts of the country chose not to shut their doors and introduced restrictions instead, such as urging anyone who has coronavirus symptoms to not come to the mosque at all. So again, this is the reason why we now have the police with these police state powers, basically, is because people didn't obey them. And a large part of the people that didn't obey them were the Muslims. One mosque in Manchester, Jamia Masjid-e-Noor, even announced a special jama for the over 50s. What a great idea. Let's all encourage the elderly to get together in one place. Anti-closure scholars have justified their decision by emphasising the importance of Friday prayers in Islam, the lack of a government ban on mass gatherings, and the fact that general wider society has not shut down. Earlier today, Sheikh Haytham al-Haddad of the Islamic Council of Europe reiterated that he categorically disagrees with the full closure of mosques on the grounds that no one has the right whatsoever to control the houses of Allah. Not even the governments of our countries. And this is the leader of the Islamic Council of Europe that is saying this, that the governments do not have any right to prevent Muslims in their countries from going into their mosques. They really are a fifth column. They're a state within a state, basically. And that is the way that they are looked upon by other Muslims. Look at the way that Erdogan looks upon the Turkish Muslims that are in Europe. I mean, he's given speeches saying that they are still there in the hearts of Turkey, and it doesn't matter what country they're in, they're still Turks, and they are furthering the aims of Turkey in Europe. I mean, he knows what's going on. He knows that the demographics show that eventually they're going to overtake us, and he wants to speed that up as much as he can. This is why he's sent all these refugees to the border with Greece. Incidentally, while all this has been going on, we still have those problems at the borders in Greece, and we've actually now got the Turkish police firing tear gas at the Greek army at the border, trying to aid the invasion of these so-called Syrian refugees that all happen to be African and Afghani. And who knows what diseases they've got that they're going to be bringing with them. This Sheikh Hatham al-Haddad came up with a fatwa. In a fatwa, he urged Muslims to try to perform Jummah as much as they can. But if they cannot find a congregation to join, then they should try to establish Jummah wherever they can, in homes or even in parks. And if they can't, then they must pray Dur instead. So he's actually ordering Muslims to go out and find other Muslims and congregate together. So I foresee that this is going to be a huge problem in a week or 2 weeks. We are going to have masses of Muslims that have all got this disease, and they are not going to be obeying those instructions to just phone 111 or whatever it is and talk to the NHS over the phone. They're just going to start turning up at these hospitals, and they are going to contaminate the people that are in the hospitals, and this is going to infuriate the white people in there. I really do think that at the end of this, we will start to see some changes. We will see some public clamoring for the closure of the borders and the stopping of all this immigration. I mean, everybody you talk to is saying, well, why aren't we self-sufficient? We need self-sufficiency. This globalism, we can't have it anymore. We can't have globalism. We need to be producing the stuff that we need within our own shores. And as so many people have pointed out, we're an island. We are an island. It should be the easiest thing in the world to prevent people from coming onto our territory, from breaking into our territory. But apparently, we just can't do that. We just haven't got the resources to prevent foreigners coming into our country and bringing this deadly disease with them, which is why I am encouraged by seeing the speed at which the rest of Europe have closed their borders to the rest of Europe. But of course, they haven't closed the borders to non-whites. Sweden has said that they will still allow asylum seekers. Germany has said that they will still allow asylum seekers. We've still got these airplanes that are landing every day, flying all the way across Europe. I mean, all these measures are too little and too late. And a nationalist government would have prevented all of this. All you have to do is look at the civic nationalist governments of Ukraine and Russia to see that they did the right thing. They shut down the borders to China immediately when this happened. And the problems that they have over there have been by people coming back from Italy that caught it in Italy. And again, how did we get this hotspot in Italy? By people fighting against racism, by hugging a Chinese. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.